The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Hey, let me, I don't know how to comment on Ron DeSantis' launch of his presidential campaign, except to say it was a failure. It was a mess. And you don't want to see a mess when your candidate is running for president. You got to figure he's not a mess. So it was a mistake to do Twitter. It was a mistake to do it the way he did it, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think it really matters. I really don't. I don't think it matters. I think it matters much more how he will be perceived, how he is going to do things. He has a conservative record. He's going to run on that. But then it's personality contest, as I said the other day. But here's one thing I want to point out to you. I mentioned yesterday, I think it was on the program, that in order to run for president, in order to have a chance in the primary, Republican primary, which I know better, you have to have $50 million at least. So right now, there's only a few people that have the ability to run deep into the election, into this primary season. Trump is one. DeSantis is one. If another governor got in, like a guy like Abbott, he could probably raise that money. I think Tim Scott has $25 or $30 million. He's got a shot to be in that neighborhood, but that's about it. I mean, it's just not easy to do. And there's no real, I don't see any self-funders who are coming in off the sidelines that would write a check. You know, they talk about Youngkin may be willing at some point, but I don't think Youngkin, I think he's the safety valve. If something dramatic happened and Trump couldn't run, and by then DeSantis was damaged, which is what's going to happen to him, I think, then maybe Youngkin comes in and he has money. He has $750 million. He could spend some of his own. But here's what I want to point out. Where does that money go? And I was with a guy this morning and he made this comment. He said, DeSantis has around him all the usual consultant class and they're getting paid lots and lots of money and they will get paid lots of money until, you know, the carcass is cold. And my point here is, this business of campaigns, presidential primaries. It is a massive business. We're talking about, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars being spent and ultimately billions being spent in the presidential race in media, in consulting, in direct mail, in tourism, effectively visiting, you know, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, et cetera. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars initially, billions total. There's a lot of interest in making sure that you have a horse race, because a horse race means that there are two or three or four candidates that are worthy of your attention. And therefore, they're going to get enough attention that they're going to be in it longer and they're going to be spending money and they're going to be creating conflict. And that's going to be worth covering. So you can guarantee Mike Pence is going to run and he's going to have a chunk of money. Mike Pence has raised, I don't know, $20 million. He'll be able to raise some money. So you're going to have people who get in the race who are going to be raising enough money to keep the horse race going. Because why? Because the media, because the consultants, because the lawyers, because the tourism industry, because the economies, not small economies, not $1 million in travel to Iowa, hundreds of millions of dollars in TV, radio, travel, mail, everything else, and consultants are invested. So DeSantis, I think DeSantis will be diminished really quickly in probably a month or two. I don't see him taking off, but he may well be in it longer because it's in the nature of the market to want more horse race and more candidates to go deeper. I wouldn't be surprised by that. So it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, invested, a lot of money spent. And the one thing my friend also said is a lot of the donors don't understand how the system works and they throw tens of millions of dollars, these big wealthy donors, into a system that's not going to succeed and they don't know it. and they're really being sold a bill of goods. And I think that's also right. When I was close to the system as a chairman of the Missouri Republican Party and therefore on the Republican National Committee, it was surprising to me to see how the inside worked and how clearly, how noticeably ignorant people were that were investing in it, donor types and others. They just didn't know how it worked, and they either wanted to do good and make the country better, or they wanted to influence things, the ego. But either way, they were falling for a trick, a sales trick. So, all right, that's what you need to know today. Just DeSantis is going to bring a lot of money in. He's going to be around for a while. Otherwise, underwhelming. And I'll be right back. Ed Martin here in the Pro America Report. We'll talk with John Schlafly and in just a moment. Be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Our next guest is Naomi Wolf. Naomi Wolf, who for, well, now about 2 or 3 years has really been one of the leaders across the world in talking about what she was seeing. She is, of course, famously, Dr. Naomi Wolf. She's famously an author, a professor, a best-selling author and columnist, and all the kinds of credentials. She's also the co-founder and the CEO of DailyClout.io, which is a civic tech company. And so she's long been, we were talking off the air, someone who would go anywhere and speak and had her wits about her and had her style about her, very effective. And now I saw her last few days ago at the Council for National Policy. But in some ways, she's talking about positions that are different than traditionally you would say Naomi Wolf was talking about. But first, Naomi Wolf, welcome back to the program. Can you tell me a little bit more or summarize for our listeners? Because I got a question about it. Your civic tech company, DailyCloud.io, how'd you get there? What is it do? How is it working in a world where big tech, and we'll talk about that, tries to silence lots of voices?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So it really came out of my experience as a political consultant, yes, for Clinton's reelection campaign and for Gore 2000. Of course, you know, it's all been part of my journey to now being totally nonpartisan and just caring about the Constitution. But when I was, you know, in those kind of halls of power, I saw that people of whatever background, whatever political persuasion, are really kept out of the legislative process very intentionally. And this was on the left and the right. I mean, you know, there was big oil, big defense, you know, big NRA sitting on the right, and big trial lawyers, big pharma, certainly big education sitting on the left, and really trying to do deals without ordinary people being able to even see or understand the legislation. So I knew that I had to start a company that had a digital component because, you know, that's the only way to get information to people widely these days. And so we launched BillCam and DailyClout. BillCam is a legislative database that lets you search any state or federal bill and share it through social media. So you can see what's in the bill, you can take action on it, you can tweet the sponsor, tweet your representative, and it's very, you know, it makes legislation very transparent, and it gives people a lot of power to really move the dial. We've been really successful empowering people to change bills or stop bills or move bills forward or, you know, educate people about bills using this technology. And then we've just launched something amazing that I'll happily give you a demo of, you know, anytime you want, is called Communities. And it's a Facebook competitor, basically, but without the surveillance and data harvesting and censorship. And so you can start any community around any bill or anything. And it gives, you know, small candidates without huge budgets a way to reach all their constituents or possible voters. It gives small publishers or, you know, small news outlets, smaller, you know, across the country, a way to reach their audiences. Basically, anyone who wants to start a community can do so using all the functionalities of Facebook.
Okay. Clout, we'll make sure DailyClout.io, and I'll learn more about it. I'd love to talk about it. I think there's a lot of people, not just conservatives, a lot of people that are saying, hey, give me places where I know you're not going to harvest my data, but also you're not going to influence everything I'm doing. We're talking with Dr. Naomi Wolf. Of course, she's really famous too, by the way, for many best-selling books, but including The Beauty Myth, Give Me Liberty, and The End of America. So let me slide over now to where we are today. One of the things that flagged me to talk with you now was, didn't even know I'd see you at CNP, but that you're again, even now, even today, there's in the UK, their version, I don't know, is it the disinformation board over there? We sort of got rid of ours, is targeting you still. I thought you were sort of right on a whole bunch of stuff. Don't they let you up now? And they say Naomi Wolf, who we thought was wrong, but now she's actually turns out to be right. She's got something to say. You're still being targeted. Tell us about this.
Yeah. I mean, really, the more right I am proven to be, the more targeted I am. That's really what's happening. So literally, you know, your audience may know, and if not, I'll share with them. We started a project at Daily Cloud in partnership with Steve Bannon's War Room to issue a call for medical and scientific experts to join us together in reading through and explaining what was in the Pfizer documents, these 55,000 documents released under court order by a successful lawsuit by Aaron Seary. Mm-hmm. And these are documents that the FDA asked the court to keep hidden for 75 years. Well, now we know why. And just very, very briefly, they document the greatest crime against humanity in history. I mean, unbelievable harms against human beings that they knew about, murders, sterilizations, maiming, strokes, heart attacks, blood clots, lung clots, leg clots, neurological events, 1,223 deaths, many of the deaths within 48 hours after the injection. Mm-hmm. So catastrophic, but also a full-on knowing assault on human reproduction, both male and female, but especially female. They knew that the transplacental exposure to the vaccine, their words, would kill babies basically in utero and sterilize women in poison breast milk, horrible things. But anyway, the more, you know, we now have 71 reports by these experts. They're published. They're all free on dailycloud.io. They all link to the primary source documents in Pfizer. So mm-hmm. like the Pfizer's own documents. So this is not opinion. The facts are right there. You know, you can see for yourself what Pfizer knew and did to human beings anyway. And the Moderna documents are just now being released by court order. So this is, you know, a horrendous crime against humanity, and people have to understand it because people are suffering from these deaths and side effects and, you know, miscarriages, not knowing what's wrong, and their doctors are not telling them. So all that being said, the more especially we bring to light the intentional damage to fertility, not just in this generation, but into the next and possibly into the future, the more, three governments are going after us. So we've got the CDC. As soon as we published report 69, Amy Kelly's report showing that Pfizer knew that the, you know, injection caused miscarriages and poisoned breast milk. And this 8-page document is linked in the report. Yep. You can see it for yourself. 3 days after that, Rochelle Walensky resigned because she had this report, right? They turned in the report on April 20th of 2021. 3 days later, Dr. Walensky issued a White House press conference telling America that the American pregnant women that she recommended that they take the vaccine. So she's a murderer. Clearly, I mean, it's not my opinion. It's right there in black and white. Mm-hmm. And then 5 days after that, Ofcom, which is, as you mentioned, Britain's media watchdog, regulates media over there, which is pretty sad. They had been, they'd opened an investigation into me and Mark Stein and GB News in November of last year when I first brought these harms to pregnant women and babies and lactation to the British public. And 7 months later, but 3 days after Dr. Walensky resigned, they decided I was guilty and Mark Stein was guilty and GB News was guilty of, quote, harm. And the, quote, harm in my case is not, they didn't say it wasn't true. They didn't say my facts were wrong because they are right. They didn't even mention the 3,500 doctors and scientists who are the authors of the reports. They said it was harm because what I was saying would cause people to change their medical practices. So, and they were also up. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just need to add, because it's so ironic and tragic. they were upset at me for calling it mass murder, even though it's 1,223 people died and they knew why. So I don't know what else to call it. Obviously, everyone needs a, you know, trial by jury of their peers, but it is certainly, you know.
Right.
Anyway, I stand by my words. And then the last thing is that they were upset at me for saying that this was like the early years of the 1930s in Germany when doctors were enlisted to create a two-tier society and normalize kind of getting, you know, euthanasia, basically euthanizing the quote unquote life unworthy of life. And I'm Jewish and my grandma lost 9 brothers and sisters to the Holocaust. So, you know, I know what I'm talking about. I've studied the early years right before 1933 in great detail. And what I'm saying is literally historically accurate, but they're upset about that as well.
We're talking about Naomi Wolf. By the way, I was looking up while we're talking the book that about a year ago right now. In fact, I bought it in the inside cover. I've written down. I bought it on May 31st, 2022. The Bodies of Others, The New Authoritarians, COVID-19 and the War Against the Human. It's a fascinating book. It's all of, I think, in some ways, Naomi Wolf, your background in ethics, your background in understanding policy, and then putting it on this. It's an extraordinary book. Congratulate you. But now let me transition a second to something. In the UK, it's even foreign for the Americans who now have, I think that we've seen that they tried to make a disinformation board, right? And they failed. If you say failed means that they publicly retracted, one of the people resigned or whatever. But, you know, we see like the Durham report, not like we see the Durham report and we say to ourselves, huh, okay, lots of people lying. I mean, at this point,
right.
you probably, if I can say, could have stood there in your early years and said, I watched the Reagan administration and they had, by the way, it was adjudicated that a bunch of people lied about Iran-Contra and about some of the things. So, you know, lying in government is not a distinguishing characteristic in history. The power of the lie in government, when it's coupled with the media and tech and even academia going along, is what's, you talk about authoritarian. It's beyond belief. I mean, where do we end up?
Well, throw in doctors.
Right.
Please. Like
right.
The whole medical establishment got co-opted and internationally, not just in our country. So what's your question? Everything you're saying is true. What's
my question is, where do we go from here? I mean, my question is, where do we go from here when, okay, American people are getting on with their life and they're saying, man, it's hard to buy stuff and we're going, you know, whatever. And they're being inundated. You know, I'm sure you have a longstanding experience. The ACLU is ramping up nationally to make sure that parents don't have control, not just over abortion, but over vaccines, over whatever. I mean, and
the ACLU is doing that.
The ACLU is leading in Ohio. I'm expanding it a little bit. I'm in Ohio on the idea that parental consent should be limited. And, you know, my point there is, you know, and I'll tell you, you'll appreciate it. We're talking with Dr. Naomi Wolf. I remember years ago, long before COVID, Phyllis Schlafly passed away before COVID. I went to her and I said, you know, Phyllis, we have people on that are eagles that some of them believe that the 100% that there was corruption and that autism and other things are impacted by vaccines. And we have other people that say this is keeping us safe. And Phyllis said there's a lot on both sides. And she said, but here's the one line we have to draw. Parents have to have control over their kids' health care and vaccines.
Right.
But my point, though, is all these things are happening so fast and aided. Government is aided by the media, big tech big media. How do we break out of that? I mean, how do we fight through that?
Yeah, great question. I mean, it is all coming at us so fast. I did conclude that the injections are a bioweapon. And that, you know, my evidence is that they were made with an MOU with the Chinese Communist Party and that CCP with Pfizer's BioNTech, the subsidiary, created 1 billion doses and have created manufacturing and distributing plants in Western Europe and North America. So, you know, we now know the virus was man-made in China. The vaccine, you know, has the same ingredients and worse, you know, spike protein is the same toxin, but lipid nanoparticles are, you know, sterilizing. We now know that everyone knew in that space since 2017 that they were sterilizing. And so, yes, we're under attack. There is a war. And so what do we do? And so I really want to credit, you know, my husband, Brian O'Shea, who spent 12 years in military intelligence and subsequently in the intelligence community. And he has analyzed what's going on geopolitically. It is a war. And so, you know, drawing from his guidance, what we really need to do is strengthen our communities locally. And at a state level, and, you know, all the other things, make sure we know where our food is coming from, make friends with farmers. Second Amendment is so important. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it is. All of us need to know how to defend ourselves. All of us need to follow every piece of legislation that affects our family. And you can use Bill Camp for that. Church and synagogue, you know, like we have to strengthen all of the places, town halls, where we can meet together without the mediation of our digital overlords, because they want to lie to us. They want to separate us. They want to control us. They want to harvest our data, surveil us. And, you know, absolutely bring criminal charges and civil charges against school boards and government officials who are trying to, you know, mask our children, inject our children, lie to our children. And there are forms on Daily Clout where you can to teach you to bring civil and criminal charges against them. So all of these things. But I guess the last thing I would say is I do think it's a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. And I think I do now, like, I'm not proselytizing, but I do believe prayer is literally the only way we're mm-hmm. going to keep these evil forces at bay, in addition to everything else.
Well, Dr. Naomi Wolf, thank you for being out there. That's what a mark of your whole life in some ways is that you've when you found things that you believe in, you've been willing to be out there and have people question and ask questions. Usually it's more pleasant than maybe the last few years, but it sounds like you have a great balance in your family and your husband. So Dr. Naomi Wolf, let me say, make sure to say again, dailyclout.io. If you go, there's a lot of ways to click through and find out more about it. And also The Body of Others, The New Authoritarians, COVID-19 and the War Against the Human is her most recent book about a year ago. Unfortunately, the only thing I missed, which is I went back and listened to the last interview with you, and we had about a 10-second conversation, and I can't do it now because I'm out of time, but it's about, and I wish you would write on this because I think you could lead a lot of us, and that you said something like, you know what, I'm printing out all of my bank records, my credit cards, because if they shut us down digitally, you have to go show what you actually had, and they'll say, oh, sorry, you can't get into the cloud, it's gone, you know, you're not allowed to go to the cloud, but I don't have time for it, sorry. I hate to do that to you.
Well,
next time we'll talk about that.
I did want to say before I go that the book, the Pfizer book, is available on
Amazon.
Oh, that's fine. And also on dailyclout.io. So it's the War Room Daily Clout Pfizer documents book. So very life-saving information. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Naomi Wolf. We will talk again soon. And we will take a break right now and be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. I'll put up links to the social media of what we talked about with her. Be right back. Welcome back. John Schlafly joins us now here on the Pro America Report. John was just out here in the swamp. He was out for the Phyllis Schlafly annual patent event, which we celebrated some of the leaders in patents and talked about some of the challenges going forward during this week when he was here. And he did push out a column during that time, and the column which ran over at townhall.com, our sister site, and is available archived at phyllisschlafly.com. The title is GOP Should Demand End to Biden's Open Border. All right, John, we're down to the end of the week, though, here, and they're negotiating on who knows, as even as we're talking, what the status of the debt ceiling is. What's your sense of whether the Republicans are willing to hold the line on questions of the border and funding in this debt fight? Or is this a later, you think they're going to kick the ball down the court?
Well, I mean, everyone is watching this. Ed, I don't think there's anything about the border in there in the bill. You know, we suggested that they ought to draw a line and say, no funding until the border is closed, because the illegal aliens who are swarming across the border, this is a tremendous cost to the federal government. It's obscured because the way it works is, most of these people are being resettled by NGOs who then get reimbursed by the federal government. So it's not a direct appropriation, but the money is going out to support these people and resettle them in communities across the country. And why are we doing this? There's no need for that. So, and you know, we start off by just pointing to the kind of an earthquake, as they call it, political earthquake.
Yeah, this is a big deal. Greece,
is a small country, let's face it, but, you know, interesting. It's a member of the European Union, and maybe a little bit like Italy a few years ago, Greece has been beset by people showing up on boats, but they're not letting them land. and they're turning them away. And the public applauds that. They applauded the turning away the people on boats by giving a big vote to the party which is drawing the line on illegal immigration to Greece. So that's, I would say that's a straw in the wind. That's a lesson that politicians ought to pay heed to. This is where the public is. They don't want to have be swamped, literally and figuratively, by people who are called migrants. I mean, that's a one-sided transaction, Ed. You know, immigration is supposed to be a mutual agreement in which the receiving country agrees to accept a certain limited number of people who pass a strict test for their eligibility and qualification. No, migrants don't get to come just because they want to. They've got to apply under rules that were previously established. They have to comply with those rules. If not, they get sent back. I mean, isn't that pretty obvious? Isn't that what we all agree to? And yet we see what's happening and the rules are being flouted.
We're talking with John Schiaffly. John, back for one second to this Greece example that you bring up. And the reason I want to go back to it is it does seem like Donald Trump in 16 was able to make the issue work politically. Certainly he did it in the primary, but I would argue that he also did it in the general, because sort of Trump voters, you know, in places like, the Rust Belt, so-called, they felt that. They felt the guy that said build a wall gets the problem. But otherwise, we've had for decades, the Republicans especially, but politicians in general, don't run on the issue, right? They somehow don't. The media makes it toxic. They call you a bigot. Is that the problem? But you just pointed out in Greece and across the country, you know, you see when the issue becomes out of control in, say, Italy, the parties that have been, you know, that are able to stand up to the immigration onslaught end up winning. And so every time it is an issue, it's a winner for, I would say, the sort of pro-America or, you know, populist movement. But it doesn't seem to work very often. What's going on here?
Well, there's certainly a lot of money in both parties on this issue. The globalists who finance both parties, and you know, they basically are in favor of greater immigration, greater than we have. They may have a few conditions, but not many. I mean, they would never support somebody like Trump to say build the wall to keep them out. So, and we've seen what's happened under the border, southern border under Biden, and where's the hue and cry
right.
from powerful people?
Right.
Well, we're not hearing it.
Right.
And so that's really telling right there. And the only voices we've heard are from the Democratic mayors of New York and Chicago, who complain about Governor Abbott of Texas sending a few busloads of immigrants to their sanctuary cities. You know, they declare themselves sanctuaries, and yet when a couple of buses show up, they raise a stink and said, send them somewhere else. Well, you know, of course, all of the people on all of the buses is only a drop in the bucket compared to the total numbers that have come over. There have been over 5 million, and the numbers that have gone on buses to New York and Chicago are so maybe 25,000. So where did the other 4,900,000 go? We don't really know. Nobody's keeping track of that. I wish we did know. They need to be watched. They need to have ankle monitors. They need to be booted out. They should, if they've got a claim for asylum, they need to wait in Mexico until their number comes up. They should not be allowed to wait here. That was Trump's idea, and
right.
he was able to make that stick. And then, as you know, Biden reversed that on his first day in office. So that's where we are now.
Yeah, John, a couple things on that. One is one of the benefits of the Trump era and his messaging was I think it gave Americans a way to understand the debate in a way that didn't feel like mean. So it was like, hey, we're not saying you can't get asylum. We're saying until you get through the system, you got to wait in the country you're coming from or the first country you go to. And it kind of felt like, okay, that's reasonable, right? And I think that was an important shift in how people could feel, because the I think it was the media, but all, you know, also our churches and others made it so, oh, you know, don't be mean, don't be anti-immigrant. But how do we, you know, one of the fears I have is that Biden's bet is that Americans will not have the stomach to send people back, right? They will, and I think that problem is significant, right?
Well, it is significant. Now, you know, once or twice, Donald Trump promised that he would send them back, but he stopped saying that. So I'm not really sure where Trump is on that, to be honest.
Right.
If we don't send them back, you know, even if they eventually have their asylum application denied, then do they go back? You know, nobody's answering. Nobody's willing to confront those questions.
We're talking with John Schlafly, his column, which is running over at archived over phyllisschlafly.com. Best place to get it now, probably, is entitled The GOP Should Demand End to Biden's Open Border. Again, John, back to just a straight political question. In the book, in the column, you refer to some of the actions, Texas governor, Florida governors that have tried to stop some of this and try to address it. But, you know, up in Washington, the swamp, there's not real energy, right? There's not even real energy. So we're just stuck with this, I guess, right? This is not going to be resolved until, the presidential election of 2024.
Well, once we get through the debt ceiling, then we turn to other issues, I think. Now, McCarthy has managed to, I would say skillfully, come up with a package of conditions to the debt ceiling. And he got that passed by a single vote in the House. And so I think we have to go with that for now until we get past the debt ceiling deadline, and then we'll turn to other issues. And I think we should turn to immigration. I think the House should pass something to set limits on asylum. So that's the one thing. Of course, we're not going to take up what people call comprehensive immigration reform. That's totally out of the question, because that's just a form of amnesty. But the asylum racket, I would say, there's a loophole that unfortunately was put in under George W. Bush, and which gives, I would say, greater rights to the applicants than they should have. A whole asylum process ought to be completely controlled by the United States government. And we would set only a small number of people from the whole world who we would consider in any given year, like maybe 10,000. And then once that quota is filled, then that's all. And the rest of you have to wait. I mean, that's the way it should be. The United States is not going to be the asylum, the asylum for the world. But we have to realize that's what the ACLU believes, and they're in court right now suing Biden, if you can believe it.
Wow.
Saying that even what Biden has done should be thrown out by an Obama-appointed judge, where they filed this case, because the ACLU's view is that anybody in any country in the world that is unhappy with their own government has the right to come to the United States and apply for asylum here and stay here while their case is being, while they wait for their case to come up. That's what the ACLU believes. And they've got cases in court before an Obama judge, which are seeking a court order to rule that way. So these are the enemies of America that we have to fight. So it's not just in Congress. It's not just the Democrats in Congress, as bad as they are, but it's essentially the forces that are using the courts to basically overthrow our government is how I would view it. Mm. And we've just got to fight this on all fronts. It's not just in Congress, but it's in the courts. And we in our organization, as you know, Ed, have filed some amicus curiae briefs in some of these key cases, and we're going to keep doing that.
Yeah, it's one of these ones, John, where it feels like it feels like parts of it are just irreversible. That's the worry I have. But that's just I'm having a bad day and I'm grumpy today. So John Schlafly, everybody, writes a weekly column, John and Andy Schlafly, the Schlafly Report, and it's over at PhyllisSchlafly.com. It's archived there. This week's GOP should demand end to Biden's open border. A lot there. Thanks, John, as always.
Thank you, Ed.
All right. We will take a break and we'll be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. I'll put a link up to John's column on my social media. Be right back.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast launched by Phyllis Schlafly, who served as an articulate voice for traditional values for more than 70 years. Upholding that legacy and himself an author, national speaker, and attorney, here's the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
Wellesley College, located just west of Boston, is known for two things: being extremely liberal and only admitting female students. One of my favorite videos of the late Phyllis Schlafly is a recording of a speech on feminism that she delivered at Wellesley a few decades ago. Not only was the speech itself fearless and fact-filled, but the question and answer time afterward showed Phyllis at her very best. However, Wellesley is clearly not at their best today as they struggle with their gender identity policy. Presently, both women and men who claim to be women are allowed to attend the supposedly all-girls school. The question they struggle with now is whether women who claim to be men should be allowed to enroll. The present policy excludes from admission women who claim to be men, which they refer to as trans men. But the student body took a non-binding vote saying that they want those trans men to be allowed to enroll. Their reasoning is that some women who believe that they are men will want to attend Wellesley so badly that they will hide their inner manliness in order to be accepted. Is all of this confusing enough for you? Here we see another hypocrisy in the prevailing position of the left. Trans women are women has been the rallying cry as they take over women's sports, restrooms, and every other women-only space. Yet now they claim that so-called trans men, who are actually women, should be able to claim both the privileges of being a man and the privileges of being a woman. This doesn't make any sense by the left's own corrupted logic, much less by reality. In truth, the hardcore leftists don't really care about facts. All they want to do is to destroy every women-only space in America. It doesn't matter to them how they do it. Wellesley already accepts men who claim to be women, but even that is not enough for the radicals. The lesson to be learned here is that you can never appease the left. If you give them an inch, they will not stop until they've taken the whole mile. Don't budge from objective truth, because it's a slippery downhill slope from there.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. For more than 50 years, Phyllis led the fight against the dead-end road of radical feminism. Today, with the rise of so many savvy young conservative women, new voices are emerging. You're invited to voice your opinion on what's really important to women at PhyllisSchlafly.com. That's PhyllisSchlafly.com. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Hey, let's talk lawfare for a moment. I don't know if I brought it up last week, Rudy Giuliani was sued in this defamation suit. I might have brought it up. I know I did a few interviews and it came up in different interviews I was doing. It's a defamation suit against, it looks like, his ex-girlfriend maybe, or ex-paramour. Now he's not married anymore. He's divorced yet again. So I'm not sure there's anything wrong with that. But it's a woman that worked for him, also may have been having an affair with him. I can't really tell. But it's a big lawsuit and it's a defamation lawsuit and related to that is the fact that he's in a lawsuit over the election stuff. And he's now spending tons and tons of time trying to figure out how to defend himself in this. Now, he's also said he doesn't have enough money to pay for some sort of discovery. My point is only this. There's a point where it's pretty clear that the left and the establishment, the regime, is trying to destroy certain people. Trump has all these charges against him, and it's been admitted that the one woman that was suing him for defamation, she has having her her case paid for, high powered lawyers paid for by a big donor, a liberal donor. And same thing, I think, with Rudy. I mean, here's the thing. Lawfare, it's getting out of control, and it's making it very difficult for normal people to want to serve in public life. Now, I said this over and over again. Jeff Clark is a very accomplished lawyer. And if he had stopped practicing law in and out of government about 2019, he would have been at a big law firm and had been an expert on different aspects of federal law and regulatory law and making a great living. But he stayed in office and worked for Trump. And because he was working for Trump, he's been targeted with bar complaints and lawsuits and grand jury investigations. My point here is, I don't think he did anything wrong except being associated with Trump. And therefore, he's paying a price for that. That's a problem. We're starting to really see political opponents targeted, hunted down through lawfare. Very bad for our country. All right, we got to run, unfortunately, out of time. Thank you, Noah Dingley. Thank you, Ryan Hite. We'll be back tomorrow. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Talk to you then.
This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.